Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And this week, we're diving in to the Cronenberg family values with Scanners from 1981.
Yeah, Scanners, David Cronenberg classic, the movie that got him Videodrome. I think the movie that kind of really put him on the map. Like, he was kind of a indie horror darling in Canada, and, you know, definitely, like, the cult crowd appreciated him. I think he was huge in Europe at the time. Like, they really responded to his movies, but he hadn't really broken into the American cinema scene yet. Scanners is the movie that made him a household name for people who like weird shit.
A household name for weird households. We kind of wanted to call this initially something about, regarding blind spots, because John and I, for this mini-series, this little head-to-head, each chose a movie that the other wasn't too familiar with. And this is John's pick. I don't think I'd seen Scanners previously. Now, obviously, I've seen the iconic scenes.
Yeah, you've
the
seen
standout
that.
Standout scenes.
You've seen that head explode like maybe 100 times.
Maybe 1,000. And I've seen the finale, the denouement. But I had no prior knowledge to the meat, the bulk of the film. And There's so much to this movie. But before we get into it, for anybody that hasn't seen Scanners, you want to give them three good things as to why they should watch it before they listen to this episode?
I'm so glad you asked. This is super
surprise,
easy.
Surprise. Three good things.
Number one, this, you know, just could easily be all three of the things. Exploding head. Number two, exploding eyeballs. And number three, exploding veins. Everything's exploding in this movie, guys. It's fucking wild. You know, it's David Cronenberg. So, I mean, I guess my, like, actual two and three could be that, like, we play around with the idea of computers as living organisms. Evil corporations that will stop at nothing for, you know, greed and just ruining the world, especially through pharmaceuticals and pregnant women. I guess I'm getting into the bulk of what we're talking about in the episode.
I'm like, this is getting beyond three good things.
So let's just leave it at exploding heads, exploding eyeballs, and exploding veins.
You know, even giving that said, it sounds weird, but this, I would say this is one of Cronenberg's more subdued films, even though your three good things were all exploding body parts.
Right. It's his most approachable film with exploding heads.
If you turn off the beginning and the end, your mom could probably watch this movie.
I think so. Mom definitely likes a young Michael Ironside, right?
Man, when he's in that tape, he's kind of, okay, he's a little bit dreamy, but we'll get there.
Sure. So before we get into the bulk of it, before we really start tearing into David Cronenberg's Scanners, Kim, what's keeping you creepy this week?
Well, very, very important horror news for everybody out there. Turn it up. I got a bat house.
Not what I was expecting to hear.
It's my keeping me creepy this week because I'm so dang excited about it. I've always wanted a bat house, and you know I've never had a house for which to put my bat house on. And we're gonna have bats. It's gonna be so. They better friggin' go live in that bat house. I will be so sad if I put up this nice new house for them and they don't live there.
They also better not be freeloaders. I need these bats to go to work and start eating mosquitoes.
Oh yeah,
I'm dying out here.
We've never lived in the country before. We've always been not city people, but we lived in the suburbs where, you know, they mow down every single tree to put houses. So we've never dealt with mosquitoes like this before.
They're insane.
And we're all like chicken pox over here. Our poor dogs are looks so bad. And I don't want West Nile. And also, I love bats. So we're putting up a bat house this week. I'm very excited. And it's cool. The bat house we got is like all super goth and it's got their name on it. It says bat house so that they know it's for them.
Yeah, of course.
And it's got two bedrooms. It says it holds up to 75 bats, John.
That's fucking wild.
That's a big fucking deal.
I can't wait.
We're going to have a whole colony. I'm going to be their queen.
We're going to have bats in our extended family. I don't have too much keeping me creepy this week, other than just, you know, all the cool horror t-shirts that I wear while I'm doing yard work outside. it was Canada Day here over the weekend. It's the 4th of July in the United States, actually the day that we're recording this. But on July 2nd, it was World UFO Day. Fucking celebrated it in style by listening to Art Bell around the campfire. Hearing about all these, UFO encounters.
There's this weird ranch where they apparently have a ton of UFO sightings, and they talk to the guy. It was weird.
That was strange.
And he had a lot of things to say, definitively say, about UFOs.
Like, I see lots of UFOs every day of my life, and I invite these people out to the ranch to also check out stuff in the sky. I mean, like, hey, I like looking at the sky, and then every single time we're having a campfire looking at the stars, I'm like, there better be a fucking flying saucer up there.
I deserve a UFO sighting.
Especially on World UFO Day. That's the day to do it. That's like record store day for aliens.
If anybody deserves a UFO sighting, let it be me.
I honestly just love listening to those old Art Bell episodes, because a lot of them are from like the early 2000s or the late 90s, and it's, you know, before everybody's got cell phones. It's the early days of the internet, so it's like people are really coming to Art Bell to actually have somebody to discuss,
to get their conspiracy on.
Oh, it's the best. It's the absolute like, now you just go on Twitter and you can just see any wild crazy idea that people have.
But before that, they used to congregate at 3 a.m.
on the radio
at truck stops and diners across the country.
Yeah, it's been pretty great. I mean, honestly, we've kind of been on a UFO kick the last like 8 months. So if you out there have any cool UFO stories or movies, documentaries especially,
give us that nonfiction UFO content.
Please, yeah. Like anything off the beaten path. You know, like we've seen all the obvious stuff. That's
like the Unsolved Mystery specials.
That was the fucking best episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, the Resurgence series. I don't know what episode it is. It's in the first season of the Resurgence series, but it's about a mass UFO experience. So fucking good. Seek that out and then recommend us.
The fucking woman who's just like, yeah, ever since this experience, electronics die around me. Like, I've had 8 phones die. My microwave blows up. It's just like, that's weird. I don't have answers for that. She's like, I moved to a different house. Same thing happens. Like, wow, so it's not just the electricity. It's you.
Maybe you're haunted.
By aliens. So yeah, please, if you have any alien recommendations, we want to hear them. Hit us up on Twitter. Send us an email. I don't give a shit. mail@nofspodcast.com. Please do. We need more UFO content. But today, we're going to talk about psychic content.
We're going to talk telekinontent.
Telekinontent. Just a, you know, weird dudes and ladies just squinting at each other and go until one of them explodes. It's the fucking best.
Yeah, so we're definitely doing this as a TikTok challenge, I've decided, because as I said last week.
A challenge.
I'm starting a challenge.
Okay.
We're going to do some scanning. We're going to be scanners.
Okay. So we just make scanners faces.
Yeah, basically. Okay. We're going to try to scan each other.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens.
I mean, this is something I was kind of saving for the episode, but it's every single time I'm watching one of these scenes where somebody's getting scanned and they're just trying to resist it and hold back. I'm like, one of them's go fart. Like, one of them's just like...
Cut to the trailer.
I would like to scan all of you in this room, one at a time.
Scanners. 10 seconds, the pain begins. 15 seconds, you can't breathe. 20 seconds, you pray it will end, and it will. Experience the terrifying power of scanners. Their thoughts can kill. Rated R.
Coming soon at a theater near you. Check newspapers for theaters and times.
David Cronenberg's Scanners is currently sitting at a 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. We've spent a lot of time already talking about exploding heads in this movie, because that's the one thing everybody knows about it. I think, like, you had to have known about that years before you saw it. And can I ask you one quick question?
Uh-huh.
How do you know about the exploding head in Scanners?
I don't know.
Oh, think back just a little bit.
I don't know.
Okay, well, here's the
thing. Are you asking me for a specific answer that you already know of? What?
This is 100% how I know about
You know about the exploding head from a scanner?
Well, I'll tell you, it's definitely the same way that Kim knows about it, but she's completely forgotten, because we as kids of the 90s, we grew up watching Wayne's World, and when Wayne ditches Garth and he's freaking out, they're in the control booth going, remember that scene in Scanners when that dude's head blew up? For 20 years before I saw that movie, I knew about the exploding head. 20 years before I even saw footage of that exploding head, I knew a dude's head explodes in Scanners.
Wow. I wish there was a universe in which I could see the exploding head scene without any prior knowledge of
it. Yeah.
Because the spook of it, the scare of it, the abruptness of it is totally lost on us.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, like, it's in a world where you don't know who Michael Ironside is.
And there's no... We know so little about scanning and the scanning ability at that point that I don't even think the exploding head thing would enter as a possibility.
Because
the only thing before that we see is the old lady at the mall, the underground mall.
Yeah.
Who has kind of like a seizure. We see a lot of leg seizing, but there's no blood or gore in that.
No, and the way that scene leads up to is the scanner is telling people, like, hey, you know, I'm gonna scan each of you individually, and, you know, it can be a little painful. So you're expecting people to, like, maybe get a headache, maybe have, I think he mentions nosebleeds, like, oh, you might have a nosebleed. And the two of them, when Michael Ironside comes up and
they
sits
have
beside
a scan off.
They have a scan off. But, like, you can't tell. They both seem like they're uncomfortable and in pain. And then it slowly shifts where you can see Michael Ironside's a little smug about what's happening. He's got a little more control, and the other guy starts freaking out, and then kaboom! Man, do you think this is the best exploding head?
It looks fantastic.
It's incredible.
It is pretty gooey in there.
I am a connoisseur of exploding heads. And, you know, we just don't explode a head now like we used to in the 80s. Because this is one of those rare instances where they use an actual shotgun to blow up the head.
They could not do that now.
No, which is a huge bummer because it looks better than anything else.
So, do you know what the head was?
The head is like a silicone head that they made. Like, they tried making a plaster cast head. I mean, I don't know enough about special effects materials to get into specifics. You'd probably know better than I would. But
I just wanted to know what the goo inside was.
Oh, it's just stuff from, like, the craft service table. That's what it always is. Like, yeah, we got some fake blood. We got some shrimp. It's like they literally just throw in stuff. Apparently, Cheetos are really good.
Cheetos?
Yeah, because they have that sort of viscera look. Like, they don't melt fully in contact with liquid, so they still, they're clumpy, like clotted blood.
like a dead gremlin.
Like a dead gremlin. Yeah, that's what you stuff inside your exploding head.
Dead gremlins become pretty soupy.
here's the other thing. Does that room look familiar to you at all? The room where the lecture hall where the head explodes?
Should it?
It should. You've been in it before.
Whoa!
Do you not remember this?
Where is it?
This is one of the lecture halls that gets used as a movie theater at Fantasia.
Holy shit!
You sat next to Paul Williams in that room watching a documentary about Phantom of the Paradise.
It was in that room?
It was in that very room.
Okay, fun story about that Paul Williams experience. So we watched Phantom of the Paradise. We ended up sitting next to him. And he sang throughout the movie. It was the greatest thing.
He sang the hell of it beside us. It was amazing. And then we didn't end up staying for the Q&A, but apparently he also sang that song at the beginning of the Muppet movie. Rainbow Connection. Yeah, he sang that fucking Kermit song. Man, Paul Williams, just
he's
treasure.
My favorite human. I can't believe I've been in the exploding head room.
Yeah, they did not explode the head in that room because they knew it was going to make too much of a mess.
But I've been in that room.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't look anything like it anymore. It's been under renovations, but you've been in that room.
We've also been in that area where the lady was scanned in the mall, the underground mall in Montreal.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, you clocked that right away.
It's a really weird spot because there's absolutely no windows, and you're like, I'm underground right now. The scariest thing about that was when they were all smoking down there. I was like, oh my god, guys, you're underground. There's no oxygen down here. What are you doing?
How reckless of you.
This truly is a horror film.
Yeah, watching people smoke indoors is wild in old movies. And like, I
love the ashtrays, though. There's something about an old timey, like a thick, chunky, yellow glass ashtray.
Yo, if we didn't grow up in that world, though, would we really have any sort of affection for it? Or would we just be like, wow, the world of yesterday was weird?
Yeah, you grew up with ashtray nostalgia.
I remember ashtrays in the grocery store, like the end of each aisle.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy that you're just like smoking, looking for Oreo cookies and breakfast cereals?
How would you even like look at fruit? You touch fruit and you get it all
like fucking cigarette
smoky.
You're just ashing on the kiwis. You're like, this lemon's no good.
Terrifying.
Oh, what a world.
But yeah, so I had absolutely no idea what Scanners was about going into it. I was
really?
Like, it's bloating head, Cronenberg.
Okay, well, outside of that, did you ever try and imagine what it was about?
No.
Okay, didn't even bother. You're just like, fuck it.
I guess I knew it was about telekinesis because of the exploding head scene, but I don't think anything prepared me for how vast the story is.
Yeah, you kept remarking, you're like, there's so many locations.
It's a big fucking story. Yeah. They fucking move through this. If this was made today, it would be a full series.
Oh, yeah. They tried to make it into a TV show at one point.
I would believe it. There's so much content here. There's evil corporations. There's sinister psychology. There's underground groups. We have, like, different factions of the telekinetic ability. It's
yeah. And
it's
like
nuts.
The group, what is it, CNET or something? I can't remember. The main group, essentially the telekinetic CIA, is trying to train dudes like our lead character and, you know, Michael Ironside, people who, like, scanners, to essentially become military assassins, like secret military assassins.
Yeah, and so they find our lead guy, Cameron Vale. He looks like he's kind of,
oh, he's homeless at the beginning of the
movie. Just like a transient, yeah. And he's stealing food off of tables and whatever. And then he scans a lady who's like making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden there are a bunch of trench coats chasing him up the escalator.
Yeah, it's crazy that there are just people hanging around. Like, I wonder if someone's going to get scanned here in the food court. I guess we do eventually learn that they were tracking him. That they kind of had always been watching him. Like, that's what's secretly evil about them. Like, they basically let him think he was crazy his entire life. And that's kind of one of the interesting things about Scanners, because it's taking the idea that you have, like, a paranoid schizophrenic person who hears voices and rambles and self-medicates with heroin. Not that he takes heroin in the movie, but, you know, this type of character is definitely just trying to, like, black out existence because he can't get these voices out of his head. And then David Cronenberg just sort of plays around with that. Like, well, what if there is something to that? Like, what if the voices he's hearing are other people? Like, he can hear people's thoughts. Like, wouldn't that drive you fucking mad?
Yeah, there's a really great scene where he translates that when he's in the hotel room.
Yeah.
And there's all the fucking voices, but they're warped and warbled and like,
oh man,
it's like he's hearing the entire hotel through the walls. So you have like, it's a bunch of like peanut adults.
Yeah. And Howard Shore does a great job of working that into the score as well. Like, the score of this movie is crazy. This is actually only the second time I've seen Scanners, outside of watching the exploding head scene 1,000 times on YouTube. But I never really picked up on the score the first time around. And yeah, I love how he takes those weird voices and mixes them into, you know, the musical themes that he's put together. But he also plays around with the dies irae, like those five notes that are like the devil notes.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Those four.
Bum, 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 bum. Nobody wants to hear this. It's terrible. But yeah, it's also what you hear at the beginning of The Shining. It's just old classic music that would get used at funerals and stuff, but it kind of stopped being used because people thought it was evil.
Actually, something fun that happened while we were watching, by the way, Scanners is on the Criterion Network if you're looking for where you can watch it. We were just casting it from the laptop to the TV, and for some reason, the TV and the laptop connection wasn't great, and so it kept restarting on the laptop, and the Dies Irae is the opening sound.
Yeah.
And it would randomly start, and we just hear the Dies Irae in random parts of the movie, worked every single time.
Like, two characters would make eye contact and the music would come in. It's like, oh,
fucking
shit's about to get fucking crazy. Oh, it's my laptop. We gotta fix this.
It just fucking worked. Also, pausing was really weird.
Yeah, the whole thing was strange. It also kicked out in the end of the movie. Like, the last 2 minutes, the big fucking fight between the baddie and the good guys. And the computer's just like, nah, you're done.
But speaking of, like, the creative side of the film, what I really fucking loved, and it feels like it was there and gone in an instant, was when Vale goes to see the artist who's, like, this tortured artist who is a scanner and channeled his abilities into his art. And
his art's so fucking cool.
That's how he's able to live with the quote-unquote disease. His art is fucking insane.
It's the best, right?
Yeah. I mean, the stuff he has on Showcase is okay. It's fine.
Oh, I thought some of that stuff was pretty rad.
I loved the one with, like, all of the heads and then the string
and the strings leading down to his.
Yes, yeah. That was wonderful. But the thing that fucking got me was when he goes to his studio and the giant head in the room.
Well, it's like it's his living room.
And they go inside the head and do the scene in the fucking giant head. I was like, oh, this is just fantastic. And it's soft in there. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a point where he was like sort of leaning on the wall and it was soft.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's so great. I love the idea. Just like, come to my chambers. Let us speak. And it's literally his own brain.
But it's very interesting, especially having just seen Crimes of the Future.
I was going to bring this up as well.
Yeah. How these people who are fringe or other or different than are able to channel that element about them that's special or different or unique or shunned by the public into art. And there's something that has to be autobiographical about it because David Cronenberg kind of replays these elements in his films. So you're just like, oh, I see what you're doing here. You're making art to, like, not quell the beast, but you're weird and you're creating these, like, little offshoots where you can kind of express that.
Yeah.
Expunge it.
I also love that David Cronenberg seems to be a guy who didn't really know how weird he... Like, I think he probably kind of always knew, but like, he never saw himself as making horror or making weird transgressive type movies. But once he started writing, this is just what came out. I love that. I love that he, like, discovers more about himself through his art, and it's always strange and weird. And when you look at him, you're like, how does that guy make this movie? Especially when you see interviews of him from, like, 1981. It's like, what's this guy in this fucking, like, sweater vest and these big grandpa glasses doing, making a crazy movie about exploding heads and stuff?
It is a solid story, though. It's almost a mystery, like an action thriller.
Yeah.
With a lot of gore bookending it.
Yeah, I love the corporate espionage angle, too. Like, there's always some... And he doesn't linger on it too much. Like, he's not trying to be like, oh, and the real enemy here is corporations. But it is. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's a pharmaceutical company that it's just essentially poisoning America.
And back on sets, they definitely used the same set for The Shape of Water that they did for The Big Evil Company.
That was a great call of yours.
That fucking stairwell is the exact same stairwell from both movies.
Well, also just like the
office?
The office,
yes.
Right? The glass office. It's unverified, but I am 100% with you. It's got to be the exact same spot.
I would put money on it.
Yeah, I mean, half the movie's filmed in Montreal. The other half of it's filmed in Toronto. Like, why wouldn't they use this office building from Hamilton that Guillermo del Toro also used, right? It's great.
Yeah, at one point you see Yorkdale as a subway stop.
Yes, yeah. That's the other thing about watching these movies. Like, if you live in Toronto or you've spent time
in Toronto.
You're
just Leo pointing the whole time.
The entire time, yeah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is unrelated to anything, but there's a lot of explosions in this movie. Not just people and body parts and stuff, but especially for a like quote-unquote earlier movie in his career, they explode a lot of fucking cars
and there's
gas stations.
Yeah, car crashes. They drive through a record store.
They drive a fucking school bus through a record store. While we were having lunch, I watched an interview with David Cronenberg, and they were talking about special effects and whatnot, and pulling off some of that stuff. And they mentioned this really fucking funny bit where, you know, like, oh, I've talked to a lot of pyrotechnic people and, you know, special effects guys. And, you know, some guys, like, everybody overestimates or underestimates the explosion and where things are going to go. And they say the general rule of thumb is, like, wherever the pyrotechnics guy parked his car, that's where you stand. It's a good rule of thumb to remember. Like, no matter what, he's going to make sure he can go home at the end of the day. So if you want to be safe, you stay wherever the fuck he is.
That's amazing.
I don't know the best time to bring this up, but the lead who plays Vale, he gives a really weird performance in this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's...
He's giving me a lot of Invasion of the Body Snatchers energy.
Yeah, I think it's a choice because it's a little stiff. But it feels like he gets like a little more comfortable with it by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because at the beginning, his handler, the guy who's sort of like training him and scanning, the Shakespearean actor who's telekinetic expert, he says that like you've never had your own personality. Like
there's always been so many voices, he never knew which one was his.
He never heard his own voice in his head. Like he didn't know. It's like that's a
cool concept.
Yeah, like that's a whole episode of the miniseries if you're expanding this out into a TV show. Just like a dude who has never felt like a living being.
Just exploring the sense of self.
That's
not
crazy.
Even the ability. Yeah.
This is a thing that I come up against with a lot of telekinetic movies and psychic movies, is that there's too much interiority. Like we're inside the character's mind too much. It doesn't always translate to screen for me.
You mean like the focusing and the hand pushing?
Yeah, well, absolutely that. But like, how do you show a person who doesn't have a sense of self?
Mm-hmm.
I think David Cronenberg does an incredible job of showing when people invade other people's minds by sort of like fading their faces into each other.
That's wonderful.
That's amazing. And 100%, like I'm only seeing it now and realizing that's where they pulled it from for Mandy, right? But yeah, the shaking heads and just people staring at each other and cutting back and forth, and the look is a little more intense each time. Like,
I love it.
After a few of those, you're like, okay, come on. Like, what are we doing here? To David Cronenberg's credit, to the entire special effects department's credit, they do a great job of really making it look chaotic when it happens. Fires are going off and shit. People are, I keep saying exploding. Veins are popping out of arms and
noses
shit.
Are bleeding.
Yeah, that's all amazing. We have seen movies that we like, that I'm not going to name, that aren't any of that. Like, it's literally just characters furrowing their brows more and more as we cut back and forth between them. And it's like, you need a little more.
Something that's not quite laser beams shooting out their eyes, but a little step up from just, like, furrowing their brow at each other.
Yeah, I mean, I will never say no to laser beams shooting out of eyes.
I said that, and I was like, but secretly, I want neon green
laser
beams coming out their eye holes.
That's our criteria for Vinegar Syndrome movies. If we're looking through the promo stills, and there's somebody with laser beams coming out of their eyes, boom, it goes in the cart.
Instant buy.
Yeah, 10 days later, you're like, what did I... You look at your credit card statement, you're like, what did I do? Oh, fuck, the laser beams got me again.
My goal is to one day have a full shelf that is just laser eye movies.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
That'll be the theme. Like, okay, everything's alphabetical, but this one shelf, what's going on here? I'm like, sit down, young sapling.
We will teach you the ways of Beyond Evil and Mausoleum. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a gremlin today?
Yeah, I love the final fight in this movie. The whole third act of this movie is kind of rad. There's a little bit of back and forth. We go to that doctor for like 10 seconds of the movie, but...
What was his big, like, about to die scene? I guess because we learn he's the father and he's kind of brought all of this upon the world.
Mm.
And maybe it's his, like, whoa, like he's holding the skull in his Shakespearean denouement. And he's like, quoth the raven.
There was, yeah, that was a little much.
Yeah, I love that it ends up just being a drug. The whole thing ends up being because of a drug.
Yeah, and like how many stories have you heard about women who were given medication because it was supposed to make pregnancy easier, but then like all of their kids were deformed?
And it's just like the ad that we see is so perfect because it's that, you know, that 50s housekeeping happy wife ad.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, calm the shores. There's something so nuclear family unsettling about
right?
it.
You can't trust Norman Rockwell. He does not have all your best interests in mind.
Oh, man. And also, too, the evil corporation, how they are able to exploit it. Like, they see what it does and they're like, oh, we should definitely start a magical army.
Yeah. Man, it's nuts.
And how he started with his own kids.
Yeah.
That's even more fucked.
It's not uncommon, not unlike real life, though, right? And that's, and like, I think the great thing about filmmakers like David Cronenberg, too, is that they don't linger on that too much. That could have been the whole goddamn movie, but
Luke,
it's like,
I am your telekinetic brother.
Okay, sure. Let's talk about the finale between Michael Ironside. Yeah, and
Michael Ironside is a fucking fantastic, by the way.
Isn't he the goddamn best every time you see him?
We have not talked about him at all, and he just exudes the character. I don't know what it is about him, but he's just got that fucking quality, that something dangerous about him, that Jack Nicholson eyebrow. He's so insanely good. And the weird thing is that in the middle of the film, we don't see him very much.
We occasionally see him just grimacing and calling in the troops more or less.
Sitting at a subway station. But he is so naturally menacing.
Yeah.
And there's something so intriguing about him, especially when we get to watch the earlier footage of when he was in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess he was like his initial psychiatry meetings where he's got a bandage on his forehead and he's drawn like an evil eye on it.
Yeah, he's got a third eye, yeah. But that's because he drilled into his fucking forehead, like, to release the pressure, to get rid of the voices. And they asked him about the eyeball, too. He's like, well, yeah, like it's obviously a door for them to get in, but I put the eyeball there to confuse them. So that way they wouldn't think it was a door and they would leave and turn away. You're like, wow, that's some logic.
But like, talk about fucking world building.
Yeah.
That's such a great feature for your quote-unquote villain to have.
Mm-hmm.
We just get this... just a taste of how fucking warped he is. And the whole movie, you don't even need much from him to just be like, I don't feel safe in a room with this guy. I know he's got the ability to explode my head, first of all.
Yeah, let's not forget about that.
He drilled into his own skull.
I just love, too, before you know where that scar is from, like, people are pointing guns at him, and it's like he's already got a bullet hole in his head. So it's like, what are you going to do to this guy?
Yeah.
You can't, he's going to eat that bullet.
Ugh.
Like, literally. Like... Yeah, there was a line, and it fucking, like, floored you when it came around, too.
Oh, I loved
like,
it.
At 22, he was self-destructive. Now, at 35, he's just destructive.
Oh, snap, 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 snap.
So good. There are so many great lines in this movie. Man, we are running out of time. Like, I love that they're just like, oh, a human being is... full of is nothing but a nervous system, and a computer is nothing but a nervous system. You can hack the computer. You can scan the computer. So he's literally just like picks up a phone and just like hacks the planet into this evil corporation.
That's my favorite thing about this movie, and part of the reason why there are so many locations and why they're able to do so much is there's no explanations.
Yeah.
We don't ever see how they broke into the facility
Who
and
cares?
Got two of those like white outfits. How they did anything. anything. We just fast travel to it. Like, different scenario. I broke into the facility and I found out that he's doing this with the medication.
Yeah.
They're producing it. They're trying to make an army, such and such, so forth and so on.
Well, I think, too, with characters like this, you're just like, oh, yeah, he's got scanning ability. They're just like, he made them think that he was somebody else or whatever. That fucking scene where they get away from being killed by security guards because the love interest in the movie makes the dude think that he's seeing his mom.
Yeah.
And she just like floods him with shame is so great. God damn. They don't talk enough
That's
about...
That's fucking Freddy's trick in Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah. Those 6 degrees of separation here. David Cronenberg is in Jason X.
Holla!
Yeah, the end of this movie when we finally get there and like, I'm your goddamn brother, man. Join forces with me or I'll mentally eat you.
I love how there's no good in the movie. You know what
I
mean?
Everybody's like, bad. You're right.
It ends with...
It's the renegade force that is just sort of like the grassroots campaign.
Yeah, and because everybody's kind of dead, it's him and Kim against the world now.
Yeah, they literally burn the whole fucking place down.
Because the bad guys were bad and the good guys are bad. Everybody wants to exploit this power.
Man, the 70s, well, it was 1981, but like the 70s were really good about that. Be like, oh, even the good guys were bad guys. You're like, in the grand scheme of things, capitalism still sucks.
Everybody's going to exploit you for your jewels and telekinesis.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know why I said jewels, but you know what I mean. Everything that makes you shine.
Is there a better image? Man, this movie's got more than one great image. But, like, outside of that exploding head, where his fucking, like, the back of his head smacks his nose, like, don't you just love that image of Michael Ironside with his fucking eyeballs just, like, whited out?
It's
fire going everywhere.
So fucking haunting. I'm pretty sure it's the poster because I remember that image.
Oh, hell yeah.
Or the cover of, like, the VHS because
yeah.
I remember that image terrifying me. I think at the movie store. Either way, like, I have an innate fear of that visual.
And kind of like Crimes of the Future, too, we come up with, like, a bit of a, not quite a martyr scenario, but definitely, like a crucifixion-type moment at the end of the movie.
I totally didn't understand it. I didn't understand
The end of the movie is wild. Like, his face, his veins are popping out, and he starts tearing his own face off, and then his hands catch on fire, and he holds them out like it's stigmata palms. And when she finds him, he's in the position on the floor like Jesus on the cross.
Like a little beef jerky.
Like a little beef jerky, yeah. He's like, I remember chocolate.
But yeah, it turns out they, like, scanned bodies.
Well, so Michael Ironside says, like, fine, we'll do it the scanner
way. Let's assimilate.
Way. Like, I'll suck you dry. Like, I'm like a fucking vampire. I'm just going to suck all of your psychic energy. I'm going to take your entire essence, and you're going to live inside me. Which is pretty fucking dark, but Vale, you know, because he's the good guy, 11th hour, finds the strength to defeat the baddies and kind of does a switcheroo and like, puts his brother in his body while he burns and he takes over his body. So he's in Michael Ironside now, but he's got his eyes and he's got his voice. That's gotta be weird though, right? Like, your boyfriend's dead, but now he's living inside the bad guy. Like,
yeah.
You probably don't share the same bedroom for a while. Like, it's, you're gonna have to get used to that. You're like, I'm sorry, it's just like, every time I look at you, you're the face that wanted to kill me? This is gonna take a while to get over.
I know you touched on it briefly, but aside from the exploding heads, my absolute favorite effect in this movie is the bulging veins.
It looks so good.
It does look so good.
Oh, man.
I know, like, there's some little effects-y things, like, just based on, you know, the time period and what they had at the time. Like, the appliances look a little waxy, and they have some seams and stuff, but it's so good that you don't even fucking care.
Oh, man. Well, I think you gotta chalk that up to it being, like, a 4K restoration.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
My fault for watching this in 4K. I am the one to blame because it's so fucking cool.
It looks amazing. It looks gross too. Like, it's the other thing. It's just like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me.
When it happens to their faces,
that's the best
and it's
one.
Like bubbling and ugh.
Yeah. Well, and it's there's two different types, right? Because there's Michael Ironside who's supposed to be winning the fight. Fucking Revic is just like, I'm stronger than you. So like, all of his veins are bulging out, but Vale's are bulging and bleeding. Like, they're literally exploding on him. It looks so good. It's so gross. I love it.
It's great.
Yeah, what a David Cronenberg classic. Like, it's a little rough around the edges, and like I have a hard
it's
time.
It's our fault for watching it in 4K.
There you go.
I blame the Criterion Channel. How dare they?
I'm surprised this hasn't been remade, though.
Also,
I think this, yeah.
Shout out, because I got to do this whenever it happens, mm-hmm. to the foot foley
yeah.
in Michael Ironside's office in his big baddie
clop,
corporation.
Clop, 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 oh. clop, clop, clop.
Loved it. 10 out of 10. That was some good foot foley.
Okay, well, so we know there's going to be a 0.5 foot foley bump, Kim. What's your overall rating of David Cronenberg's Scanners? I don't know why I got to give it the fanfare that I just did, but hey, what'd you think of the fucking movie?
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 4.
Yep,
I thought
yep.
the special effects were really good. I loved the mystery and kind of the how everything unfolded. I was really invested in what was going on. And the fact that it ended up being this like drug and this evil capitalism thing, I was just like, yeah, fuck yeah.
We got to see some of the sequels. There's like Scanners, Domination, Scanner, Cop. Like there's
no,
a lot of, there's like 5 of them.
I did not know that.
Yeah, none of them are directed by David Cronenberg.
But I would really much like to see Cop Scanner.
I think a lot of them are on like the Roku channel for free. Like we can watch them on Tubi.
I am stoked.
Yeah, I'm also giving Scanners a 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I only like kind of knocked it down a point just for rewatchability.
Yeah, I mean it's not a perfect movie, but it's a totally entertainable movie. I would love to see this on like a double bill. I guess I would love to see this on a double bill with the movie we're talking about next week. But seeing this movie at the drive-in would be the absolute best way to see it. Something like an all-nighter with just some like really rad early 80s, late 70s.
I mentioned Invasion of the Body Snatchers earlier. I think that would be a good pairing for this movie.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. It's an incredibly
ambitious
movie. Lots
of trench coats. We'll call
too.
It the
trench coat.
The trench coat double feature.
Yeah, I love bad guys with good hats. if only these guys wore fedoras, I'd be over the moon.
Oh.
But that's our opinion of David Cronenberg's Scanners. Let us know what you thought over on Twitter at NOFS Podcast, in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord, and anywhere else you follow us.
And catch John and I scanning each other
on TikTok
at tiktok.com/@NightmareOnFilmStreet. We're doing it. We're gonna go scan crazy. It's gonna be so awkward and uncomfortable.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
If you're a fan of Nightmare on Film Street, consider supporting us at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub by joining our fan club Fiend Club over on Patreon. We have tons of bonus episodes and bonus content. We learned recently that our Wi-Fi is good enough. We can do some live game nights again, so we're going to get that stuff launched very soon.
Yeah, we're just wrapping up the Never Sleep Again series where we, you know, review, you've heard us talk about it, every Nightmare on Elm Street movie with no sleep, so you can binge those in one shot to hear us in live time just completely lose our goddamn minds. We also recorded a full drive home from the drive-in episode of David Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future. You want to hear about how surgery is the new sex, and how Viggo Mortensen is cutting out all of his
really
internal
phlegmy.
Organs. Yeah, really phlegmy, cutting out all of his internal organs for performance art. Head over to nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. to listen to those bonus episodes.
And we'll be back again next week with another Cronenberg classic. But until then, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.